You are Locked On Seahawks, your daily Seattle Seahawks podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, 12s. I'm Corbin Smith, your host for Locked On Seahawks. Later in the final two quarters, I'll be joined by Rob Rang from Mobile, Alabama, with some Senior Bowl scoop after today's weigh-in and practice sessions as part of a jam-packed draft-centric show. Now for your lead story here on Locked On Seahawks. Yesterday, the Seahawks announced cornerback Shaquille Griffin had been named to his first career Pro Bowl. He won't be joined on the field, however, by Bobby Wagner. Wagner, who was named a first-team All-Pro selection for the fifth time in his career and earned his sixth Pro Bowl nod, will not suit up for the game, according to Coach Pete Carroll, who is actually coaching the NFC squad this year. Carroll was speaking with Omar Ruiz of NFL Network today in Orlando as his team prepares for the Pro Bowl, and he told him Bobby's okay. Bobby had something he didn't really know he had. He found out in the exit interviews that he had a little problem with his knee that needs rest. I don't think he has to do anything for it, but he has to miss this game. This was really a season of milestones for Bobby Wagner. He wrapped up the year leading the NFL in tackles for the second time in his career, 159 stops this season. He became the franchise's all-time leading tackler earlier this year, passing safety Eugene Robinson. Did it at just 29 years old. As Pete Carroll mentioned, plenty of football left for Bobby Wagner to continue expanding that record and make it extremely difficult for anybody in the future to break it. Wagner told reporters after Seattle's season-ending loss in Green Bay that there was a chance he would need surgery, but based on Carroll's commentary earlier today and reports out there, it sounds like he'll just need extended rest for the injury to heal. That is great news, perfect news for the Seahawks, not having to have one of their key players going under the knife. The fact he is not playing on Sunday in Orlando really does not matter. This is an exhibition game. It does not count in the standings. And honestly, the Pro Bowl has really become a mockery in recent seasons. The level of play on the field continues to decline. You can tell that defense is optional for the most part. Players don't want to hit each other. It's not worth further risking injury for a player like Bobby Wagner. And you see some of the guys that opt out of the game that just have nicks and bruises. If he has something they were thinking maybe needed surgery, there is no reason that he should be on the field. So yes, there's going to be some disappointment for some Seahawks fans that actually watch the Pro Bowl, not being able to see Bobby Wagner out on the field. But this is great news that he doesn't need surgery, and it's great news that he's not going to risk his injury trying to play through a game that does not count and doesn't matter in the standings. Luckily for Seahawks fans who do enjoy watching the Pro Bowl, they will still get to see Russell Wilson and Shaquille Griffin. Both those players will be suiting up on Sunday. Wilson's also going to participate in the Pro Bowl skills competition later this week. So fans will get a double time getting to see Russell Wilson out there competing against some of the NFL's best quarterbacks. Carroll had this to say to Omar Ruiz today about Wilson's spectacular season. He said Russell did have a great season from the start all the way to the finish of it, all the way to the final game, the final opportunity he was battling. He's such a great competitor. It's just come through. He's just continued to grow as a player. This was his best year, I think. When you look at the statistics for Russell Wilson this season, you definitely can make an argument that at 31 years of age, he had his best season as an NFL quarterback. He didn't throw a career high in touchdowns, but he had 31 touchdowns compared to just 5 interceptions, and he went the first 7 games without throwing a pick. He was near flawless during the early stage of the season. He only had 5 interceptions the second half. There are a lot of quarterbacks in the league that would love to lower their interception number to that. So he was a great caretaker of the football. He led one of the most explosive passing games in regard to explosive plays downfield with Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf. He led 5 game-winning drives this year, which also led the NFL. You look at pretty much any meaningful statistic throwing the football this year, that's a positive stat, and Russell Wilson is surely going to be in the top 10 in that category. He also had a decent year running the football as well. Not his best year statistically, but he definitely saved the Seahawks using his legs, evading pass rushers, and picking up some yardage as a runner. So he continues to dominate on the field. As for Griffin, Carroll was really fired up to see the third-year corner get his first Pro Bowl nod, and that makes sense. Pete Carroll is a defensive back coach at heart. That is his specialty. So seeing a player that really struggled in his second season trying to replace Richard Sherman in 2018 bounce back and have such a great season, that was a big deal. He told Ruiz he's really improved in the 3 years he's been with us. He's a fantastic player for us now, and it's great that he gets recognized to be part of this. Griffin ended the year with 13 passes defensed, which ranked among league leaders in the NFL. Though he didn't have any interceptions this season, he was really good at getting his hands on the football, made major strides in that regard, held opposing quarterbacks to a 57% completion rate this year when passing against him, gave up just 44 completions, and he lowered his passing yardage totals against him by over 200 yards. He did give up 4 touchdowns this year, many of them coming later in the season. He was battling a hamstring injury, but now he's healthy enough that he can take advantage of returning to Orlando, where he starred for UCF and playing in this All-Star Showcase that is the Pro Bowl. Coming up next in the second quarter, Rob Rang will join me from Mobile, Alabama. It's Throwback Tuesday. We're going to be looking back at some players that previously have been drafted by the Seahawks that participated in the Senior Bowl. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Locked On Seahawks podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. We talk about physical fitness a lot on this podcast, but there's another side to the game that's just as important. I'm talking about mental fitness. Calm, the number one app for sleep and meditation, has teamed up with LeBron James to help you train your mind. LeBron and Calm know that your mind is like any other muscle in your body, and Calm can help you train your brain so you sleep better, have less stress, and perform at your best. For LeBron James, sleep is an important part of his mental fitness routine. He says, "Getting good sleep and finding time to rest is one of the most valuable things I can do for my body and mind." And if you head to calm.com/lockedon, you'll get 40% off a Calm premium membership. With Calm, you have access to the nature scenes LeBron loves, like rain on leaves, and so much more. For a limited time, our listeners can join LeBron in using Calm with a 40% discount to an annual membership at calm.com/lockedon. Unlock content to help you focus, ease stress, and sleep better. Get started at calm.com/lockedon. That's calm.com/lockedon. Before we move forward, let's talk about sex. Good sex. Remember the days when you were always ready to go and you could increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed? Listen up. BlueChew.com. That's blue like the color blue. BlueChew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever an opportunity arises. Now, this isn't just for guys who can't perform. It's for any guy who wants extra function to enhance their performance in the bedroom. Blue Chew is prescribed online and ships straight to your door in a discreet package. So no in-person doctor's visit, no waiting in the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness. They're made in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use our special promo code LOCKEDON. Just pay $5 shipping. Again, that's BlueChew.com. Promo code LOCKEDON to try for free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring the podcast. Welcome back to the Locked On Seahawks podcast. I'm your host, Corbin Smith. With the Senior Bowl underway in Mobile, glad to welcome back Rob Rang, officially joining the show for the last two quarters. He's going to share some thoughts on some prospects that he saw today that really jumped out to him at today's practice sessions. That'll be coming up in the third quarter. But Rob, before we look to the present, I think a lot of fans, I don't know about you, but a lot of fans have been sending me messages on social media wondering why the Senior Bowl is considered such a big deal. And it really varies by team, but there's no question that this week is extremely valuable to the Seahawks front office and their scouting staff.
Oh, it really is, Corbin. I mean, that's the thing. It's like any other All-Star game. Obviously, you're going to have some of the elite players in the country there. The Seahawks have historically focused a lot of attention on this game. Again, not only because of the fact that you have good players, but you have good players in a very competitive situation. You know how Pete Carroll is about competing. And so I think that that it is an opportunity to be able to see how these guys perform. When you have like the small school prospects, for example, you know, then you really get an opportunity to see how they're going to go up against the elite players in the country. You're going to be able to see how guys who play in different schemes are going to be able to acclimate to a true NFL offense. This is this game is being coached by the NFL staffs for the Cincinnati Bengals and the Detroit Lions. And so you really get an apples to apples comparison, which is pretty unique, because that while there are certainly several other all-star games out there, none of them are coached by current NFL staffs. And so it really is, for my money, the best opportunity to be able to evaluate players. The NFL scouting combine gets more attention, but the Senior Bowl, as former Seattle Seahawks scout Jim Nagy, now the Senior Bowl executive director, likes to say, the draft starts in Mobile, and it certainly does this year.
And the Seahawks, looking back at last year, talking about how valuable this has been for them, and there may be some fans now that are kind of going to squeam a little bit when I say this, but one of the big reasons that they loved LJ Collier and they took him in the first round is he had a sensational week in Mobile. He was one of the standouts in the Senior Bowl, and obviously only three tackles this year, was inactive for a lot of games and a healthy scratch, so kind of a wash for a rookie season, but the Seahawks are still excited about his potential. That was the week that he really had a coming out party, and a lot of other teams were interested in him late first, early second round. They also drafted Gary Jennings, who played in the Senior Bowl, and they currently have a practice squad player, Penny Hart, receiver out of Georgia State, that had a pretty good week last year as well. So there's quite a bit of Senior Bowl flair on the current roster. What we're going to do for our Throwback Tuesday segment, though, Rob, we're going to look back all the way to 2012 at some of the players that the Seahawks have unearthed from the Senior Bowl, and I'm sure you've got some interesting stories on some of these guys. Looking back at 2012, there's some quarterback that played in this game. I'm not sure if our listeners have heard of him, but Russell Wilson actually participated in the Senior Bowl, along with linebacker Bobby Wagner and defensive tackle Jay Howard, all three of those players drafted by the Seahawks that year.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned, you know, like kind of the funny stories and things like that from the Senior Bowl. I mean, I still can remember Russell Wilson, his Wisconsin helmet out there in this, you know, during the Senior Bowl practices, because I was literally sitting in the stands with some of the Seahawks scouts and watching this. And that was a terrific class of quarterbacks that year. You know, Kirk Cousins, Andy Dalton, guys that had you know, very productive careers in college and yet still elected to participate in the Senior Bowl. And so it was kind of fascinating to watch these guys. And, you know, of course, now we all know Russell Wilson as being the elite player that he's become, multiple Pro Bowler, you know, arguably MVP candidate. But at that point, he was a quarterback who was just trying to prove that at less than 5'11", that he was going to be able to play in the NFL. There were many, many doubters in those stands. And yet I, and obviously the Seahawks, certainly were watching and thinking, wow, he's making throw after throw after throw. You know, just like as he did at Wisconsin, just like he did previously in his career at North Carolina State. So as well as Mike Glennon, his former teammate at NC State, who was also there that year at the Senior Bowl. So to me, it was a really fascinating thing. And then you mentioned Bobby Wagner as well. All Bobby Wagner did, you know, was really be one of the defensive MVPs of the actual Senior Bowl game itself. And that was critical because of the fact that the Bobby Wagner, I think he had the flu or some other type of illness that kept him from participating during the combine a month later. So for a lot of people, this was his final opportunity to kind of show what was going to happen. And, you know, when you play at Utah State, then it was critical to his draft stock to be able to be very successful in this big opportunity against elite talent. And he certainly was.
Looking at 2013 and 2014, we just talked about Bobby Wagner and Russell Wilson both being at the same Senior Bowl and drafted by the Seahawks, two future Hall of Famers potentially getting drafted from that Senior Bowl class by the Seahawks. 2013 and 2014 were not near as fruitful with players from the Senior Bowl. Receiver Chris Harper didn't even make it out of the training camp and preseason in his rookie year with the Seahawks. Ty Powell was cut as well. Kevin Norwood in 2014 lasted one season but barely played for the Seahawks. The only guy from those groups in 2013 and 2014 that managed to have a couple decent seasons in the NFL was defensive tackle Jordan Hill out of Penn State, who had a couple really nice seasons as a pass rusher, then could not stay healthy, and the Seahawks moved on from him. But then they finally hit gold again in 2015, the only Senior Bowl player that ended up on the Seahawks roster, and now he's a 1,000-yard receiver, Tyler Lockett.
Yeah, exactly. And you mentioned Chris Harper in the 2013 class, and that was Kansas State, a Kansas State big body, possession receiver type, Kevin Norwood from Alabama a year later, similar type of guy. And then to go with Tyler Lockett, obviously much smaller, much quicker, much faster, and yet even more productive than either Harper or Norwood throughout their careers in college and then obviously in the NFL. And so that's what I remember about him. It's just look at these big-bodied wide receivers who look good during practice, but then once they got into the NFL, unfortunately, they just were not able to basically be able to break away from NFL cornerbacks and create that separation. And, of course, that's where Tyler Lockett is so special, as you well know, Corbin. It's not just about the fact that he is so quick and he's so fast, but he's also such a nuanced route runner. And that really is a credit to his own work ethic, as well as the fact that, he's kind of learned that with the NFL bloodlines that he has. He knows how to play the game and really plays at an exceptional level. So to me, that's one of the fun things about the Senior Bowl is, again, when you see these guys who maybe don't have the size that you're looking for, like a Tyler Lockett or like a Russell Wilson, and yet when they're still able to get open against elite coverage and this type of opportunity, playing a completely different offense than what they had played in Tyler Lockett's case with the Kansas State Wildcats, and they're still able to get open, that to me is one of the best indicators of future success.
The Seahawks obviously didn't have any success with Harper and with Norwood. Those two players didn't really find their groove anywhere else either. They bounced around with multiple teams, so those picks just didn't work out. They did not have lengthy NFL careers. 2016 and 2017, the Seahawks had a lot of Big Ten flavor in their Senior Bowl selections. They had safety Tyvis Powell that they signed as an undrafted free agent out of Ohio State. Nick Vinette, they drafted in third round out of Ohio State. Quentin Jefferson from Maryland, which they were in the Big Ten at that point. I'm still getting used to saying Maryland's in the Big Ten. And then 2017, Amara Darboh and Ethan Posick were drafted that played in the Senior Bowl. Darboh no longer with the Seahawks. Posick's battled some injuries. So those 2 years, aside from Jefferson, not a ton of success mining players from the Senior Bowl. But then we've got 2018, which I believe, aside from 2012, is shaping up to be the best group of Senior Bowl players that the Seahawks have put on a roster. And it's interesting because Rashad Penny was the first-round pick from this group, but Shaquem Griffin, fifth-rounder, started to come on late in the year, had a sack in that game against the Green Bay Packers on Aaron Rodgers. First sack of his career. Looks like he's going to have a bigger role moving forward. And then, of course, maybe the best player of these three to come from the Senior Bowl was an undrafted free agent in defensive tackle Puna Ford, who had one heck, all three of those guys. Penny didn't have a great week, according to you. I'm going to leave you for that discussion, but had a great Senior Bowl game. Shaquem Griffin was the practice player of the week, and Puna Ford also had a really great week in Mobile.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, exactly. And I'll start with Puna Ford. We were just talking about, like, the receiver and the quarterback and Russell Wilson, Tyler Lockett, of course. Again, undersized. Puna Ford, that's the reason why he was drafted. It's just because he lacks the height that the teams want. But you could see it on tape. You could see it in Mobile. Just go up against these behemoths along the offensive line. And yet that initial burst, his just natural leverage advantage at his height, and he was still really effective. So, certainly throughout the week of practice here at the Senior Bowl, I really thought that Puna Ford had proven himself to absolutely be a draftable player. More in the fifth to sixth round, certainly should have been a steal in the seventh round. And for Seattle to get him as an undrafted free agent, I thought was kind of crazy. You mentioned Rashad Penny. He did. And unfortunately for him, he struggled throughout the week of practice. I mean, he put the ball on the ground several times, and he was a player that I was very, very high on, just based on the fact that he was one of the elite, you know, statistically elite rushers in all of college football at San Diego State that year, and played in kind of a downhill I formation kind of a scheme. And so I thought that, you know, it was an easy transition to the NFL, especially in a team like Seattle. And yet, because he fumbled a couple of different times throughout the week of practice, I remember being on Ian Frances' show on Sports Radio 950 KJR and just kind of saying, hey, you know, maybe I'm wrong on this kid. I loved him and throughout the season, but he struggled this week in practice. But then during the game itself, he was absolutely spectacular. He made a couple of big runs, had a catch and a run where he really showed the burst, similar to what he has flashed for the Seahawks so far this season. You mentioned Shaquin Griffin and just what a terrific practice player is. Just the enthusiasm, the versatility. He was asked to rush. He was very successful doing that. He was asked to play coverage as a linebacker as well as a safety. He was spectacular, Corbin. So to me, that was one of the feel-good stories of the year. And he certainly was spectacular throughout the week of practice at the Senior Bowl.
Yeah, the Senior Bowl is only part of the evaluation process, but clearly looking back at a lot of the players the Seahawks have picked from there, this week it matters. It really is a big deal to John Schneider and all the scouts he's got out there looking at these players. We saw the Collier pick a year ago. I really think that was the closing deal for getting him to Seattle, was how well he played in Mobile, and you could make those same arguments for players like Shaquin Griffin. Rashad Penny might not have had a good week of practice, but really shined in the game, and that was enough for the Seahawks. Puna Ford had a great week. A bunch of other players that we talked about. Bobby Wagner had a sensational Senior Bowl. Ends up being a second round steal for the Seahawks. They get Russell Wilson in the third round. One of the best drafts ever that was completely ripped apart when it initially happened by members of the media, thinking it was a horrible class. And looking back now, two future Hall of Famers in that group. No question that Mobile played a big role in building this current Seahawks team that's been to the playoffs now 7 of the past 8 seasons. Coming up after the break, Rob is in Mobile as we speak. He's going to share some thoughts on what he observed today with practices for the North and South squads getting underway. If you're a college football and draft enthusiast, you won't want to miss this next segment. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Locked On Seahawks podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Welcome back. Glad to have you joining us on Locked On Seahawks. I'm your host, Corbin Smith, joined by Rob Rang. Rob, you're hanging out in Mobile right now. Anyone who listens to our show knows this is one of your favorite weeks of the year, getting to cover the Senior Bowl. Tons of stories from the past seasons at the event that we just went through. Now it's time to look at this year's crop. Today, getting their practice sessions for the North and South squad started. A lot of players really standing out to you on Tuesday.
Yeah, there were. I mean, it's, you know, the thing is, Tuesday at the Senior Bowl is the most action-packed day because we get up at the crack of dawn and we have the initial weigh-ins. And it's always fascinating to me how some programs throughout the country, big and small, will just frankly list their players incorrectly. You know, they'll list guys at 6'5", and they wind up measuring at 6'2", and things of that nature. So the weigh-in is critical. And just to see the arm length, to see the hand size, all those things are very important when you're getting down to brass tacks and you're trying to determine exactly who is the player that you want, you know, just one spot higher than somebody else. So that was important. And then, of course, we had the first North and South practices, which, as I mentioned before, are going to be, you know, coached by the Detroit Lions, the Cincinnati Bengals. That's one of the things that makes the Senior Bowl such a very helpful barometer of whether these players are going to be successful is who can take it from the whiteboard, you know, and be able to be successful on the field against elite competition. And so there were certainly plenty of players who stood out this week already.
A player that kickstarts your list here. You sent me before the show a list of 6 names, players that immediately jumped out to you today. And it's interesting. The first name is a familiar one we talked about yesterday on our mock draft segment, Javon Kinlaw. I saw some clips today of him absolutely dominating offensive linemen with filthy moves off the line of scrimmage. If he's able to do that more consistently, this is a guy that is going to make a huge leap in the NFL after, as we talked about yesterday, being so raw at the college level.
Well, he is raw. He's also 6'5", 315 pounds, has really long arms, 34 and 5/8 arms. That's the longest of all the defensive linemen. As you mentioned, Corbin, I mean, he has some plays where he is just splashes. And it looks like, oh, this is going to be an all-pro. This is going to be Chris Jones all over again. And so you see some of those splashy plays, and he had some of those today during practice as well. I had a chance to interview him, actually, during the media session and ask him straight up. I was like, hey, you know, if I had never watched you play, what are the games that I need to watch? And I mean, he looked at me with the most confidence and said, hey, Alabama, Florida, Georgia, the best of the best. That's when I performed, you know, at my highest, you know, highest point. And, you know, obviously, you know, with the competition that he's facing this week, I expect Javon Kinlaw to be one of the flashiest performers, get a lot of buzz. That's why, as excited as I might be as a, you know, somebody who follows the Seahawks, you want to see the Seahawks do well in this draft. I think that Kinlaw could be that next Senior Bowl superstar that the Seahawks are able to bring into the fold. We talked about this yesterday, Corbin. I'm not so sure that he's going to be available to Seattle at number 27 overall.
Yeah, if he has an entire week that looks like today, he could be one of those guys that vaults into the top 10, top 15 picks. We see it pretty much every year that a guy that maybe had first-round buzz now becomes a top 10, top 15 pick because of how well he produces in Mobile. So maybe Javon Kinlaw is the guy this year. Staying on the defensive line, I love it that you brought this name up because it's a player that I've actually had a chance to watch in person. Darrell Taylor, edge rusher from Tennessee, 16 and a half sacks the last 2 years. One thing I noticed when I was writing some notes on him, he is a little older player compared to some of the other players at the Senior Bowl. He's been on campus for the Vols for 5 years, but that's not always a bad thing, bringing in a player that's got more experience at the college level, especially when you've played in the best conference in the land, the SEC.
Yeah, absolutely. And when you are hopefully, potentially for the Seahawks, being drafted to a team that's built to win right now. You know, and so you don't necessarily want to go. I mean, John Schneider is always focused on younger players, and that obviously has proven fruitful. But at the same time, if you are trying to win right now, then I think it makes some sense to get one of these guys who is a little bit more pro ready. And as you said, you know, he's gone against elite competition in the SEC. Then he has, and Jeremy Pruitt is a terrific defensive-minded head coach that he has been groomed under. He is a guy that struggled early in his career, but the last couple of seasons has really started to blossom. He's 255 pounds. I mean, and he uses his hands well. He has great burst-up feel. You know, Seattle obviously needs to improve their pass rush. And Darrell Taylor, to me, he and Terrell Lewis, the outside linebacker slash defensive end from Alabama, to me, those are the two pass rushers in this Senior Bowl class that I think make the most sense for the Seahawks specifically.
What I've always loved about Taylor's game is he's one of those guys that's not just looking to get sacks. We know how much the Seahawks love turnovers. He's a guy that's looking to create those. He's very effective at it, forcing fumbles, forcing the football out of the quarterback's hands, pass deflections. He had 4 this year, uses his length really well. So a lot of good things that he does aside from just racking up sacks. What I haven't been impressed with from him, I think that when you look at his frame, he needs to add a little bit more weight, a little more muscle to that frame. He's not great against the run. That was where he was exposed the most in the games that I was able to watch. And so I think if you're the Seahawks, you're looking to this player, can we get him in that 265 range? I don't think you need to add a ton of weight, but if he was around 265 playing that Leo role and you worked on his technique a little more defending the run, this is a guy that could come in and be a really effective player for you right off the bat. As for Terrell Lewis, another player you mentioned, he's a pretty darn big linebacker. We're talking 6'5", 252, and that to me screams defensive end in the Seahawks scheme, unless he's going to be the biggest Sam linebacker that we've ever seen. I mean, he would make Bruce Irvin look tiny in some regards, and this is a guy that would be able to pin his ears off the edge, 6 sacks this year. But got to wonder where his fit's going to be at because of that body type.
Well, I think he can play multiple roles. You mentioned Bruce Irvin. Bruce Irvin was a freak. I mean, 250 pounds and running the 4.4s. I mean, that's remarkable. And I don't know that Trellis is going to do that. But I can tell you this, Jim Nagy, again, former Seahawks scout, now the executive director of the Senior Bowl, he characterized Terrell Lewis as a possible top 15 pick based on Monday night's Senior Bowl press conference, kind of leading up to this week. And I'm not so sure I believe in that, just because of the fact that Terrell Lewis has struggled with injuries, throughout his time at Alabama. But it is his versatility. It is his ability to get after the quarterback. I mean, six sacks doesn't sound like a lot, Corbin, but, Alabama is so loaded with talent, and there was only so many sacks to be kind of spread around, and so he is a guy that was asked to rush the field, rush upfield as a pass rusher, not only as a hand in the dirt, but also have a two-point stance. He was asked to drop back and play that Sam linebacker role. He told me, he's another player I interviewed today, he told me he actually was asked to play a little bit of Mike linebacker as well. And so that's a testament to his instincts as well as his agility. So to me, he is the most intriguing of this edge rusher class because of his versatility. And because Seattle has used as many draft picks as they have on defensive ends, with some of these bigger body kind of guys like a Rasheem Green, like an LJ Collier, then maybe you can get a little bit cute with a guy who has a little bit less size, but also is able to give you something in the linebacker position. So he's somebody to absolutely keep in mind as well.
Looking at the interior defensive line, we already mentioned Javon Kinlaw. He would be your more athletic three tech. The Seahawks could also use a zero or one tech defender that can stuff the middle. Al Woods was filling that role, and he's a free agent, going to be 33 years old. They need to have a young player that can really emerge as an interior run stuffer. And there is one player in particular that you were texting me about that you are really excited about, and he's got Pac-12 written all over him coming from Utah.
Yeah, Leki Fotu, 6'5", 335 pounds. I mean, he's just an absolute beast.
And that's a damn big man.
Yes, it is. And he carries his weight well. A lot of guys that big, they have a big belly. I mean, this guy, it's all in his lower half, and that provides you that ballast to be able to hold up at the point of attack. We talked, Corbin, this year about some of those big defensive tackles like a Vita Vea at Tampa Bay, a Fletcher Cox at Philadelphia, that were able to kind of hold up Seattle at the point of attack and really, really stuff their run. That was missing, as you mentioned. Once Al Woods got hurt, with all due respect to Brian Monet, who didn't play bad. But at the same time, he isn't a difference maker the way Leki Fotu can be. I don't know that he necessarily is a first-round selection because he's not going to be able to provide much for the pass rush. Only a couple of sacks. He's not a quick-twitch guy, but he is so damn strong at the point of attack. And that was such a huge concern for the Seahawks all year long. I don't need to remind anybody you watch the AFC Championship game that when the 49ers are running the football right now, you have to be able to slow them down to be successful. And so I really think that as much as we're going to talk about the pass rush for the Seahawks, it's going to be critical to improve their run defense as well.
And run offense is going to be something they're going to be looking to get rolling again with the running backs coming back healthy. The offensive line's got a lot of players hitting free agency. Mike Iupati, George Fant, Jermaine Ifedi. And this is a class, as we've talked about a few times already on this show previously, that has quite a bit of offensive line talent, particularly at the tackle spots and at center. But there is an offensive guard from Michigan, and we know the Seahawks love drafting players from Michigan. They've brought in Lano Hill, Amara Darbo. They just brought in Brian Monet as an undrafted free agent. So they like players coming from Jim Harbaugh's program. Ben Bredesen, the guard for Michigan, 6'5", 325. He's a guy that when I've watched film, he screams Seahawks offensive line.
He really does. And that's the thing is I believe that the guard position might be Seattle's strongest at this point, just because of the fact that the players that you're looking at as being your starters are still, for the most part, still signed. You have in Phil Haynes, a guy that you believe is going to be a future star. Jamarco Jones played very well. Mike Iupati, remains to be seen whether he comes back. DJ Fluker, you have some good football players there. But at the same time, just because of the fact that Ben Bredesen plays the style of ball that Seattle loves so much, if he were available in Seattle, number 27 overall, to me, he's not a flashy pick. But he is the type of return to your roots type of selection that I think could be intriguing. Now, all of that said, he's one of my absolute favorite players in this draft class. I just love his physicality. I love his toughness. I love his durability. What I don't like is the fact that he came in today with 31 and one half inch arms. And that is really, really short for an NFL guard. So he is a guy that I personally gave a top 32 grade in all fall long. And then when I saw that number, it scared me a little bit. So he is a player that could fall down the board a little bit. And if he does, someone's going to wind up getting a heck of a steal, because I didn't throw those numbers out the window. This kid is a heck of a football player, and one is going to wind up being, in my opinion, Pro Bowl caliber guard for a team very shortly in the future.
Well, the Seahawks have never had issues with drafting players that don't necessarily fit the numbers narrative. And just look at Russell Wilson, some of the other players that they have brought in, Shaquem Griffin at linebacker for them. They're always willing to bring in good football players that maybe have some characteristics that don't necessarily usually translate to success, and they'll take chances on that. So maybe Bredesen's going to be that guy. One of their offensive linemen that jumped out to you, Prince Tega Wanigo, tackle out of Auburn, 6'7", 305 pounds. The little bit that I've had a chance to watch this kid, the big issue for me is the lack of strength, but he's 6'7". There's a ton of room to add weight to that body. He's a really athletic tackle that could be molded into a long-term starter.
Oh, he really can. This is a very good offensive tackle class. It's one of the best ones I've ever seen. I've been going, this is my 20th Senior Bowl in a row. And there's a lot of talent here at the Senior Bowl itself. There's a lot of talent among the underclassmen. I'm really excited to kind of talk about the different options that Seattle may have in the draft if they were unable to retain George Fant and Jermaine Ifedi, who we've talked about before. We both think that they might get big time deals in free agency. And this is one of the reasons why I think that Seattle could potentially allow those players to go elsewhere and use those free agent dollars, perhaps on a defensive lineman, like a Jadeveon Clowney, like a Jaren Reed, perhaps even some of the other unrestricted free agents from other teams that are out there, just because the talent is so good along the offensive line and lacking on the defensive line in this year's draft class. But the Prince is a fantastic athlete. You love the length. You love the durability shown to Auburn going against elite competition. He has actually not been as consistent as you like. But in terms of just the raw Play-Doh kind of thing, this guy, you can mold this guy. And so when you have a teacher like Seattle does along the offensive line, then I really think that in the time that you have with the talent that you already have in place in left tackle position, Dwayne Brown, then I think that the Prince could wind up being a king someday, just because of the fact that he is as gifted as he is. He has untapped potential to die for. And so while he's a little bit unpolished still, frankly, in a lot of ways, he kind of compares to Jermaine Ifedi, because when Ifedi came out of Texas A&M, you could just see the upside. He is so big and so strong and so athletic, but at the same time, he struggled a little bit with consistency. That's what I see with Prince Tego Wanigo, is that a guy that has all the tools in the world but is still trying to figure it out. And let's face it, he played in an Auburn offense that isn't exactly a pro-style scheme. But once you get him into a pro-style scheme, the intelligence is there. He's another player I interviewed. The athletic ability is there. The size is there. I think that the upside with this kid is just through the roof. He is, again, I think he's going to come into the NFL. He may struggle a little bit initially, but I think 2, 3, 4 years down the road, he's going to wind up being one of the better ones at his position in all the NFL.
And you're going to see there will be some teams that will shy away from a player like that because of the restrictions that there now are in off-season practices compared to earlier years in the NFL. And trying to get the reps in for players that maybe are unpolished, they're not necessarily there. But I could see the Seahawks, with Mike Solari now being at the helm, entering his third season as their line coach, that they certainly could take a chance on Wanigo because he's got the athletic traits, he's got the length that they're looking for, and he's shown some flashes of being an NFL tackle. It would be an adjustment going into their system after playing an Auburn spread offense, but absolutely has the mental aptitude to be able to make that transition effectively. Make sure to follow me on Twitter at CorbinSmithNFL. You can follow Rob at Rob Rang. If you'd like to be a featured sponsor on our podcast, you can contact me, LockSeahawks@gmail.com. Make sure to subscribe to our show, Spotify, Stitcher, iTunes, whatever your podcast platform is. Go to our website, LockedOnSeahawks.com. Coming up on our Wednesday show, I'll be revisiting Seattle's rookie class from last season and handing out some grades for a class that the Seahawks are still very excited about, plus a look towards the future and how that group may impact how Seattle drafts this upcoming April. You won't want to miss it. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday. Go Hawks.